found out that if he put his certs in his mouth, that the certs would last about 22 minutes. And for those of you that went through the training class with back this summer, with Art, and he said about 22 minutes is about the length you want to go. Not too much more, not too much less. 22 minutes is a good number. But he found out that the certs in his lower cheek here would last about 22 minutes. So he got to preaching one day and put his certs in, and he's running out of material. And of course he didn't have a watch on, so he didn't know what time it was. And so he kind of ad-libbed and added a few things, and still must have time. Come to find out, after service he finally wound up and closed, that he didn't put a certs in his mouth, he put a button. That'll last forever. So, don't intend, I've timed this several times, but I do not intend to keep you long today. Today's lesson is going to be a little different than what you may be used to. I have several thoughts and some loose threads out here that I'm going to try, by the end of my time with you today, pull it all together and present you a nice little package for the end of the year and as we look to start the new year. Today's lesson is based on a story that's found in Luke 15, verses 11 through 31. That's page 70 in your pew Bibles. Luke 15, verses 11 through 31. I will tell you that this is a long passage, and I debated whether to read it all or not. But I'm going to be talking about everything in there. So, we're going to read it together, if you don't mind. Luke 15, verses 11 through 31. I am reading out of the NIV. For reading purposes, I find that it fits me fairly well. I totally agree with Fred that you have to be careful of the translations that you use. The King James kind of butchers this section. That's why I want to read it out of the NIV. So bear with me. Follow along. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate.
Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on.
"Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has with him back safe and sound."
The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him."
"My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found."
Fred, would you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you always want us to do what's right. And if we leave, you're waiting for us to come back. Help us, God, as we live, that we will strive to live for you. That we will put you first in all that we say and do. Please, God, give us wisdom and strength to do what we should. Help us to be pleasing in your sight. Guide us, God, as we come together to worship, that we will worship out of desire and in the way that you show us in the Scriptures. Help us to live for you all day, every day of our lives. God, help us to always reach out and touch the lives of those that are around us to lead them to the fold of safety. Give us wisdom to do that properly. And as we do it, God, please send many laborers into the harvest. Thank you, God, for everything. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Some would say that what we just read is a parable, and man has designated that the parable of the lost son. If you look at the beginning of your section there, it kind of states that it's a parable of the lost son. My first random thought that I want to share with you is at the beginning of the story, where are the two sons? They're both with their father, correct? Both are sons. And going back to what a parable is, it's an earthly story put in terms that you and I should be able to understand, but it has a heavenly meaning. So if you stop and think about it, you've got two sons with their father. That's easy enough to understand in human terms, right? In heavenly terms, what it's saying is that there's two sons in heaven. Two sons with their father, okay? Both are sons at this time. One, the younger son, decides to leave. My random thought for you is this. Fred touched on it this morning during class and during his lesson, and I'm going to drive it home even further today. There's a passage that the people that use that once saved, always saved, is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is correct. That passage is very true. But what this story and what other passages tells us is that we are creatures of free choice. We can choose to be saved, and we can choose to walk away.
Thus the story of the prodigal son, because the younger son decides to leave his father and his home. That's earthly terms. Heavenly terms, we can leave our father and walk away from heaven. That is our choice. Young people, this part of the lesson is going to be for you. And I want to deal specifically with you. And there's a reason why I invited you, and I'm glad you came. Turn with me to 253, if you would. 253. The Fredism that I'm pulling now is that there was once upon a time that Fred had to do everything because there wasn't other men in the congregation, so I'm acting like there's nobody else today. I'm pulling a Fredism.
How shall the young secure their heart and guard their lives from sin? Thy word, the choicest rules impart to keep the conscience clean. Truth, how pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. And well support our age.
You realize in that story, the young son had everything. Obviously from a wealthy family. As you read through it, they've got servants. His servants are taken care of really well. That means the family is taken care of really well. But he decided to walk away and throw it all away. Young people, my question to you today is, why are you here? Why are you in this building? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. God has been moving in my life for a long time, more than I like to admit sometimes. Most of you have heard that I am adopted. You may not understand the total story behind my adoption. I was a second choice. And on top of that, I was 5 years old. How many five-year-olds do you hear getting adopted versus a cute little baby? Babies are usually the first to go. Five-year-olds, boys, not so much. So God's been moving in my life. I came to the United States to a Christian family. I didn't know what a bed was. I didn't know what running water was. And I had a broken eardrum. But I have to say God was good to me. Christian family. I grew up in the church. To the point that I became a youth minister, associate preacher. That meant I preached every now and then. And at your age, I knew it all. I really did. Moved out of the house when I was 17. In my faith, tell you what, I had a strong faith. I had a strong belief. Proverbs 11:2. is not quoted very often, but speaks the truth. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with humble is wisdom. The one that is quoted quite often is Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I was moving up in the world, upper management, being considered for a vice presidency of a big company, making enough money to buy a new car every year just because I wanted to. When the Mitsubishi Eclipses GTs came out, I owned the first one in the state of Nebraska, right off the parking lot, 0.01 miles on it. Sharp car. Yeah, just one of many I bought during that time stretch. In order to make the vice presidency, I was starting to have to work some Sundays. Make the sacrifice. It's my career, my job. Then came some times that I didn't have to work a Sunday. You think I work hard now? Just got done putting in 6, 12, 14-hour days, and I got a Sunday off. I just want to relax. And so it began. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. This one is not quoted very often either. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And again, I'm going to go back to, that's the New King James Version. I'm actually going to read it out of the NIV here. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin. Too many friends may cause you problems. Ask a young man that had money and spreading it around. It said that he lived wildly. And he had money, wealth. He had money. You notice that he doesn't say it, but implies it. It's kind of hard to live wildly by yourself, huh? Okay? It's hard to live wildly just in your own room. Okay? So he had to be out amongst them and spending his money. And while he's had money, he had lots of friends. Okay. The one that is quoted quite often, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Page 1, I didn't write the page number down on that one, sorry. Oh yeah, page 157. 157, New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Keep your finger in Luke, because that's where we'll be going back to several times. This is Luke 15. We're going to go back to Luke, the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15, and we're going to key in on verses 13 and 14, young people. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. You see, I started running with a guy I grew up in the church with. He had became a preacher for the Church of Christ there in Nebraska, and I'm going to keep the city quiet for now. But when I moved back to Lincoln, Nebraska and hooked up with the guy, I didn't realize he quit being a preacher. In fact, he had quit being a Christian. He had found his wife cheated on him twice, and it shook his faith, and he walked away from the church. I'm going to tell you, I know for a fact Satan was after me. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, page 205 in your pew Bibles. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, my friend that I ran into after I moved back to Lincoln, Nebraska, our first night out together, he introduced me to a strip joint and alcohol. And at the age of 29, I started partying. Going to clubs, and you fill in the blanks. All the things I was told no growing up in the church. All the things that the preacher got up here and said, thou shalt not do, I did. You name it. Fill in the blanks. Been there, done that. Do you realize for the Jew how dirty pigs were? They couldn't even touch the pigs, let alone think about bacon. Jesus is talking to the Jews in the parable of the lost son. Where was he at after he had squandered all his money? Feeding pigs. You know, the people that Jesus was telling the story to just had to shudder and shake. Ooh, pigs. He had to feed them? So my pigsty. My pigsty. When did I hit rock bottom? October 23rd, 1998. Turn with me, if you will, to 757.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh.
stands alone. Like a king I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to
October 23rd, 1998. I began my 3 to 5 year sentence in the big house. For those of you that don't know criminal terminology, I began a 3 to 5 year sentence in the Nebraska State Penitentiary. You've heard about jailhouse faith? You heard about jailhouse conversion? Been there, done that. Keep that in mind. Parents, I want to talk to you. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Our little ones can quote this to you. You adults should be able to quote this. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Go down to Proverbs 22:15. Fred uses this a lot. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Kids, I'm going to tell you that you get spankings, that you got discipline, not because we hated you, not because we're mean. Yes, we're mean, but that wasn't the reason you got discipline. The reason you got discipline is because God tells us, train up a child. Doesn't say train up a teenager. To be honest with you, it's too late to train you guys. We can try. But if you talk to any psychologist, they will tell you by the age of 5, you're imprinted. By the age of 7, it's done. You are who you are. Unless something dramatic happens, like in my case, like a death, unless something dramatic happens by the age of 7, you're done. You are who you are. My parents will tell you the same thing. When I came over when I was 5 years old, I was pretty much who I am. Wild, stubborn, independent, mean, tempered. One word, two words, take your pick. That's how I ended up in the big house. Parents, get your kids to church. And I understand, you're the only one that has kids here right now. Your kids have all pretty much grown, but this still applies. Listen carefully. Get your kids to church. Every service. Get them involved. Make them do it.
I don't want to go to church. Why aren't we going to church?
Because I told you to. It's okay to be the parent and say, because I told you to. Because we're told to. Second Timothy 1:5, page 186 in the Pew Bibles. Second Timothy 1:5. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, young Timothy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Parents, did you catch that? Grandparents, did you catch that? The faith that first was in the grandmother and then the mother. Hi, Grandma. Faith needs to live in you first. Then it goes to your daughter or son. Then it goes on to the next generation. Same thing applies to you. Fortunately, we're not grandparents yet that we're aware of. We have kids that don't live at home, so I'm aware of what we've got here, okay? But we've got kids that don't live at home, so who knows? But we are parents. For me, it wasn't my dad. Now, that's a whole nother lesson and a whole nother story, and I really don't want to go into it today. Suffice to say that I thought my dad was the devil incarnate and a hypocrite, and that was one of the reasons why I left the house when I was 17. But the faith of my sister, it lived in her. So parents, grandparents, what kind of example are you setting? Even if your kids are grown, even if they're moved out of the house, or soon to move out of the house, what example are you showing? What example of faith as an adult are you sharing? And I'm glad you're here today. But as the prodigal son, I'm going to tell you right now, all of you, young people, parents, grandparents, I'm telling all of you, that's not enough. I'm glad you're here. But that's not enough. Matthew 7. Verses 21 and 23. Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23. Do you realize how scary this is? Matthew 7, starting at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. I preached. I did the Lord's Supper. I prayed. I led singing.
I read long scripture passages for the preacher. I've done good. Depart from me. I don't know you. As a prodigal son, I'm telling you right now, parents and grandparents, you're setting an example. And bless you, Carmen. My daughter, for some reason, loves you and adores you, and that's great. It's good that she has a different shadow to follow than me all the time. Do you realize the example you're setting for my daughter, though? Love, caring, sharing. Don't think I'm not talking to you parents and grandparents as your own children, too. There's other kids watching you. Didn't I do good deeds? Depart from me. I don't know you. As a prodigal son, I'm going to tell you right now, coming to church ain't enough. Live your faith. Share your faith. My faith lived in my sister. Back to Luke 15, verse 20. I want to key in on the Father for just a moment. So he got up, and this is talking about the prodigal son, came to his senses, and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Heavenly Father waits for us. And as parents and grandparents, let that be a lesson for you. Don't lose hope over your earthly children. If the foundation is there, if you did everything that you could to train them the way they should, I'm going to tell you that because of the foundation and the faith of my sister, I'm back. Don't lose hope. If the foundation is there, they will return. They will return. On my first date with Becky, over 10 years ago now, I told her about my past and the way I was raised. I told her that for about 10 years now, I have been living that way, but I wanted to change. My sister was haunting me. I wanted to come back to the Father. And I told Becky at that time that if she wanted to go past the first date with me, she's going to have to make that journey with me. Like I said, 10 years ago, and we're still here. And we're on that journey together. Parents, I'm going to tell you right now, set the example, lay the foundation, follow what the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, if he has walked away from it, he'll come back. If he's not there yet, for some of you that have not grown up in the church and you're trying to persuade your children now, understand what I said. By 7, they were set. So what kind of life were you living when they were 7 years old? The leopard can change his spots. And if you can change, they can change. But understand, you're going to have to be as patient with your children as people were with you. Okay? Understand that. You gave them the wrong example when they were 7. Don't expect them to change right now. It ain't going to happen. But it could. And it can. So don't lose hope and don't lose faith. But parents, set this example. Lay the foundation. Live the faith. And don't lose hope. And I repeat myself. Set the example. So, young, old, older, oldest, parents, grandparents, hoping to be parents someday, don't. Church body. I want to talk to you now. So I think that's pretty much everybody. Back to Luke 15. This part of the parable is not talked about very often. Luke 15, starting at verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Okay, at the beginning of the story, we had two brothers. They're with their father. That's their earthly message. The heavenly message I was saying was that you had two brothers in Christ, in heaven, with God the Father. The older brother stayed. He remained faithful to his father. What did that verse say again? He became angry and refused to go in. So, the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, I've been slaving for you all this time. I've been working my butt off for you. I didn't leave. I stayed. I just had a birthday. You didn't even give me a goat. That no account brother of mine, he took your money and he threw it away on prostitutes. And you're giving him a party with a cow. I'm not happy and I'm not going in." This family here is very good about accepting people. This family here is very good about allowing people to come through those doors as they are. Not what we think they are, not what we want them to be, but we tend to accept people for what they are. That's one of the things that Carol would tell you that she loves about this place. Addiction and all. That's what Terry will tell you that he loves about his fellowship with us. Now we just got to get him over that hurdle, past the hurdle of religion sucks, to accepting that this isn't religion. This is the will of God. Got to get Terry past that point. We'll get there. But he loves the fact that he is accepted here without reservations. Guard your hearts, brothers and sisters. It's amazing to me, as often as I've read this story, it says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." As Christians, we are blessed. "But we had to celebrate and be glad because a brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The very next chapter or verse, it talks about the parable of the shrewd manager, and Jesus is talking about another story. Do you realize there's no ending to this story? Have you ever stopped to wonder why there's no ending to that story? It's a cliffhanger. For those of you that watch TV, it's a cliffhanger. Because it doesn't end right there. The dad is talking to the son and said, "Hey, come on in. This is why we're having the party." Does the son go in or not? Does the father stay out there and plead with his son? What happens? What's the rest of the story? Let's go ahead and turn to page 36. Page 36. Oh, that's not the one I want.
Title.
37. Sorry, 37. Right below it.
Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue on bridle slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soar alive. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Angry words are lightly spoken, bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command.
This is my opinion, not found in the Bible. It's not scripture. I like to believe that the older son repented and went in to join the feast. Jesus doesn't tell us that. The story isn't finished. And in my opinion, the reason the story is not finished is Jesus is saying, "You're the older son. You're the older son. How are you going to finish the story?" The story's not written yet. It's up to you to finish it. That's my opinion. So pulling all my thoughts and threads together, the story of the prodigal son is my story. And at times, I know that I'm still on that road home. And where are you in this story? Perhaps you're the prodigal son. See, if you, at the beginning of the story, knew everything, had everything, decided to leave home, proceeded to waste it all. Yeah, been there, done that. Perhaps you're contemplating leaving home. Perhaps you're finding it easy or complaining, why do we have to go to service again? Weren't we there just 3 days ago? Let's see, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, 3 days ago? The church is having a gathering tomorrow? Do we have to go? I don't want to go. The youth group's doing what? They want to have a what? Really? Well, who's going to chaperone it? I'm not. Oops. I think I've said that a time or two. So where are you? Are you the prodigal son? Are you a parent or grandparent that has lost a child? I will tell you that my mother told me upon my release in April 26th of 2000, that I better get my act together. She'd been crying too long for me. I asked my mother. My sister was kind of smarter than that. She just hugged me and said, behave. Are you that parent that's been crying? Be patient. But I'm going to tell you to make sure you're setting an example. Perhaps you're none of the above. You've been a good person most of your life. You've had a few bumps here and there, but you've been a good person. Do not become like the older brother in this story. His anger will not let you get into heaven either. The party was inside. The brother, older brother, was outside, refusing to go in. It goes back to free choice, doesn't it? We can choose to be saved, and we can choose to walk away. And for those that aren't parents, you won't understand this, but we can still love you. Hate what you're doing, but still love you. And if we as human beings can do that, guess what our Father can do? He can still love us, even if we have closed the door to Him. But He's waiting. Are you that parent, grandparent? Perhaps you are the prodigal son. Wherever you are today, I would challenge you to join me on that road back home. If you haven't followed the steps of the plan of salvation, what's holding you back? Why are you still in that foreign land? Why are you still in that pigsty? Why are you letting the devil win? You know, it's in the bulletin. Brian spoke about it on a Wednesday night several weeks ago. God has said, you want to be here? You want to be in heaven with me? Here's the steps you need to do. Growing up in the church, we call it the plan of salvation, the steps of salvation. There's 5 plus 1. And most of us know them. Fred talks about them all the time, too. Have you done all of them? Have you really done all of them? If you have, are you living the 6th step? Remaining faithful. Remaining faithful does not mean that you're perfect. Thank you, Lord, for that. Fred talks about his guilt trip and all the things he does wrong. I'm still trying to figure out what that is, but maybe someday I'll figure that out. For me, it's easy. Spend 6 hours with me and you'll see all my faults. Okay? Spend 4 hours with me and you'll see most of them. It's a daily struggle for me.
young people, I'm going to tell you right now, I was smarter than you. I was stronger than you. I knew the Bible better than any of you combined. The teacher would tell me to shut up in class and let the other kids talk, because I knew the answer before he even asked a question. Yeah. Look where it got me. Look where it got me. And you wonder why parents don't do this. We'd rather you not do this. Don't do that. Those horror, horror. Those movies you watch of prison scenes. The Nebraska State Penitentiary wasn't as nice as some of the movies make out state penitentiaries. Not as bad as some of the other movies you see. But I will tell you that I'm surprised I did not end up staying longer than my 3 to 5 sentence. Fortunately, I had two guards that seemed to think that I was okay. Because my first night in the big house, I had 3 big, strong, silly boys that thought they had fresh meat. Three silly boys ended up in infirmary, and I ended up getting scolded by the guard that responded. They shook my hand and laughed. That would have extended my sentence anywhere from 1 to 5 years more if he had chosen to report it and put me up on charges. But he didn't. Not pretty. Not good. So I'll go back to the original in conclusion and say, young people, why are you here? Find your faith. Your faith. Not your parents. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your grandparents. Find your faith. Parents, you better be setting an example. You better be setting an example. Christians, don't get angry. Rejoice and be glad when one repents and comes back. Part of my journey back, I was rebaptized because I felt it was the thing to do. I had left the church. I had left God. I had left my family. And it was a journey back for me. And I thought that it was the right thing to do. Have you followed all the steps, and are you living the way you should? You can come join me on that road back home. 226. 226.
Oh Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior.
scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Mrs. Bush.
That's great. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you again just thanking you so much for granting this time to study your word, worship you, spend time with our family of Christians here. I ask you to please be with us and help us to grow. Be with us, help those that are sick and are struggling. And just guide us in our work here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.